نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وبعد. Verily all praise and glory is due to Allah the Most High. We praise Him, we seek His forgiveness, and we ask Him for His mercy. And we testify and we state that there is no God or deity worthy of any type of worship but Allah. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam is a servant and final messenger. And as to what follows, this is our final meeting with you today. Until insha'Allah the month of September, when we return back from our travels overseas. لكن أبشركم, I give you glad tidings, ولله الحمد, الشيخ أفراز, who is a graduate of الجامعة الإسلامية بالمدينة المنورة, shall be taking our place every Saturday between Maghrib and Isha to continue with you and with himself learning about Allah and His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, as we all know, we do not take the opportunities of gathering only for a certain person, or only for a certain group, or only for a certain reason, or only for a certain topic. I find it sometimes strange. For example, Masjid Tariq, every Thursday night, maybe 100 people or so will call and they will say, who is the Khatib tomorrow? Who is going to give the lecture tomorrow, Khutbat al-Jumu'ah? As if they are deciding whether to come or not, depending on who the speaker is. So this is not a habit that should be instituted in ourselves and our children. Al-ilm, qala Allah wa qala Rasuluhu. Knowledge is what Allah and His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. It doesn't matter who is saying it, as long as it is what Allah and His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Today we continue after we have spoken about what it means to believe in Allah and what it means to believe in His angels, al-malaika. Today, al-kitab, believing in the book of Allah, specifically al-Qur'an. نَقُولُ أَوَّلًا. In the beginning, as a Muslim, you must believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever He sent a messenger, a prophet, a rasul, a nabi, He would bring with Him certain things that would show the people around Him annahu al-haq, that what He has come with is the truth. For example, Musa alayhi salam, at the time Musa was living, the greatest thing a person could possess was magic. If you knew magic, people will follow you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa with not magic, but with what can overcome a sihr, what can overcome magic. And He showed this. This is why as-sahara, the magicians, were the first to fall in sujood to Allah. When they saw that Musa was not a magician, was not a sahir, they knew that what he possessed is from Allah the Most High. Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, when he was sent, at the time that he was living, the greatest thing a person can possess was helping people, curing people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to cure the blind, to give them sight, bi-iznillah, with the order and the will and the order of Allah, to raise the dead, bi-iznillah, to bring and resurrect the life back. So this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send certain messengers with certain things for the specific time period. But when He sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He sent him with something that is eternal, something that does not change with days or times or culture or people. It doesn't matter which city, which country, which color, which place, which nationality. Al-Qur'an fulfills all purpose. And this is our topic with you today. Understanding that the Qur'an is one of the greatest things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed to mankind. And we will discuss with you some things from tariq, history. For example, the Quran that we have in the Mus'haf, how did it become a Mus'haf? What did Uthman do? Who ordered Uthman to make it one Quran? Also, we will see that the lugha, the language in the Quran, is something that cannot be parallel, something that no one can ever recreate. And this was a test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to mankind. فنقول, as a mu'min, as a believer, you must believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent books, al-Zabur, the Qawthan, to David, al-Tawrah, li Musa, al-Suhuf, li Ibrahim, al-Injil, li Isa. Isa was given the Gospel, and to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, something that made all the rest no longer important, because everything is in the Quran. I give you an example of the Quran, how you can see that everything is in it. The family, al-Usra, when you look in the Quran, you can see every example. A man and a woman pleasing Allah. Look at the example of Ibrahim and his wife Hajar. The example of a man obeying Allah and his wife disobeying Allah. Look at Nuh wa Lut. The example of a man and his son pleasing Allah. Look at Ibrahim wa Ismail. The example of a man obeying Allah and his son disobeying Allah. Look at Nuh and his son. قَالَ يَا بُنَيِّ إِرْكَمْ مَعْنَا. Come into the ship, come to Tawheed. قَالَ تَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلْ يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ. He told him, no, I shall go and climb the highest mountain. It will save me from the flood. Disbelieved in Allah. And it was the son of Noah. If you wish to see the example of a child, an adopted child, so you see the diqqa, the precision of the Quran, an adopted child raised with disbelievers and being muwahid, look at Musa. Raised by who? Fir'aun. Everything is in the Quran. Every example. So we begin and say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first has given the order that the Quran shall be perfected. إِنَّ نَحْنُ أَنْزَلْنَا الذِّكْرِ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Surely we have sent the reminder, the Quran and the Sunnah, and we shall be its protector. And what Allah has promised to protect, none can tarnish or harm. فَأَوَّلًا, Al-Quran is protected by Allah. Equally is the Sunnah, as we will see inshaAllah in later lectures, of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also see that the Quran, as we have discussed with you previously in talking about sifat, the characteristics and attributes of Allah, that the Quran is the spoken word of Allah. Kalamullah. Minhu bada' wa ilayhi ya'ud. Spoken by Allah, and before the day of judgment, the Quran shall be raised off the earth and returned to Allah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that before the day of judgment comes, there will be no one on the earth who will say, Allah, Allah. Before the day of judgment comes, وَفِيهِمْ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةِ. And upon these group of people who do not even recognize the word Allah, the day of judgment shall enter upon them. So the Quran is protected by Allah, it is kalamullah, the word of Allah. It is also a mu'jiza, a miracle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives mankind three different texts. The Arabs, the Arabs at the time of the Prophet ﷺ and before him, had the most fluent language that any human society ever possessed. Al-lugha al-arabiyya, they increased in it and excelled in it in a way that is found in no other culture on the face of the earth, before or after them. especially if you compare اللغة العربية to English. For one word of English, you may have 10, 15, 20 Arabic examples and words that can be used in different types and in different manners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first tells mankind أن يقول قل لئن اجتمعت الإنس والجن. Tell them, Ya Muhammad, if all of mankind and all of the jinn came together, على أن يأتوا بمثل هذا القرآن, that they should all come together to try to produce a Qur'an, full Qur'an, like how we have. If they were to try to come and produce it, بمثل هذا القرآن, لا يأتون بمثله, ولو كان بعضهم لبعض ظهيرا. Even if each of them was to work in unison, all of humanity from Adam to the end of judgment, and the jinn, if all of us came together to try to produce one Qur'an, we could not. فَعَجَزُوا Mankind could not. So Allah reduced the ante. He told us عَشْرِ صُوَرٍ. He tells us subhanahu wa ta'ala أَنْ يَقُولُونَ الصَّرَاةِ. They say to you, O Muhammad, that you have invented this. And you are saying that Allah said this and you are lying. قُلْ Tell them if I am lying and I invented this. قُلْ تَأْتُوا بِعَشْرِ صُوَرٍ مِثْلِهِ مُفْتَرَيَاتٍ. I am one man. All of you go together and bring me just 10 surahs. Not Quran. 10 surahs. فَعَجَزُوا They could not. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it even less. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, if you see and if you do not believe that what we have brought down to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not true, if you do not believe it, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ. Bring one surah. Not 10, not Quran, one surah. إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْصَرُ. Three verses. Bring these three verses. If you can make a similar surah. فَحَجَدُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ayah, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ وَدْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ. And bring witnesses if you have done this من دون الله إن كنتم صادقين. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَمْ تَفْعَلُوا. If you will not do it and you will not, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ. Then be afraid of the fire. فَعَجَلُوا. No one has ever claimed that he has made a surah equal in linguistical wisdom like the Quran. And now I wish to explain to you, because we are not, I am not even an Arab. I do not consider myself an Arab. اللغة العربية to us is something that is foreign. So for me to explain to you the diqqa, the precision of the word of Allah, let us look at one of the great shu'ara, one of the great poets that lived at the time of the Sahaba. His name was Labid ibn Rabi'a. This great sha'ir, many of his poems, some of you may have memorized them. One day he was walking in Mecca al-Mukarramah. And he was one of the few poets who the people of Mecca gave the ability that he is to place his poetry on the walls of Al-Ka'bah. This is how good of a poet he was. That to honor him, to give him sharaf, he would write a poem and put it on the Kaaba, so anyone that visited from the cities would read his poetry and say, this is the poetry of Labid ibn Rabi'ah. So one of the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and looked at the poem. وَقَرَأَهَا. He read it. And then he took a piece of paper, وَكَتَبْ آيَتَيْن مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ, and wrote two verses from the Qur'an and put them beside the poem of Labid. So Labid, entering al-Masjid al-Haram, he wants to see his poem, his mess. He wants to see that people are saying, MashaAllah, look at him, this is the poet. And he saw these two ayat of the Qur'an. He screamed to himself, وَاللَّهِ مَا هَذَا بِشِعْرٍ. By Allah, this is not poetry. وَإِنِّي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ And I am now declaring I am Muslim. This is who? The greatest poet of Arab culture. I give you another example. One of the great scholars of Al-Lugha, Al-Asma'i, he was a great scholar of Al-Lugha Al-Arabiya. He has a book titled Al-Lugha Al-Arabiya. He wrote a book titled The Arabic Language. He passed by a young Bedouin girl, Arabiya, young child, and she was saying verses of poetry, and she was so beautiful in how she said the poetry. فقال قاتلك الله أبعد هذه الفصاحة Where did you get such beauty in your poetry? فقالت سبحان الله أبعد قول الله فصاحة How could you say and praise my words of poetry after you read in the Quran and listen to these ayat in Surah Al-Qasas? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives two orders and gives two nahy, prohibitions and gives two bushra, two glad tidings to the mother of Musa. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِيهِ We gave revelation to the mother of Moses to breastfeed him, the first order, الأمر الأول. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ If you are afraid of for his safety, put him in the river. The second order. All of this in what? One ayah. صح؟ فَإِنْ خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي Two prohibitions. Do not be afraid and do not be sad or sorrow. إِنَّا رَدُّوهُ إِلَيْهِ We shall bring him back to you. Bushra. Glad tidings. وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ And we shall make him a Rasul. Six different points in an ayah. But when we read the Quran, we don't look. We don't look at the ayat of Allah. We don't understand the beauty of the Quran. أَبَعْدَ هَذَا الْكَلَامِ صَفَاحَةً After you read something like this, can you even think of poetry? كلام الله, the word of Allah جل وعلا. We move quickly now لجمع القرآن. How was the Quran brought together? The Quran was brought together on three different steps. خلاص? Three different مراحل. The first was during the life of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. القرآن كان ينزل منجما. The Quran would descend at different times and at different places according to what the people were in. So for example, if they were fighting jihad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bring verses to them about it. Or if the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم was asked a question, the Quran would come down to give him the answer. I give you an example of this. Do you know سبب نزول سورة الكهف؟ سورة الكهف, why was it brought down? Some of the mushrikeen came to the Yahud, to the Jews, the scholars of the Jews, and they told them, we wish for you to give us something to use against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do we show the people that he is a liar? So the Jews told them, ask him three questions. سَلُوهُ عَنِ الرُّوحِ Ask Muhammad about what is the soul, الروح. وَسَلُوهُ عَنْ أَصْحَابِ الْكَهْفِ And ask Muhammad about the people of the cave. وَسَأَلُوهُ عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ And ask Muhammad about who was ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ So the mushrikeen came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قالوا يا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم What is الروح ومن أصحاب الكهف ومن كان ذي القرنين فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told them come to me tomorrow and I will tell you. What did the Prophet ﷺ forget? Insha'Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He forgot to say, Insha'Allah. فَرَجَعُوا They came to him, وَجِبْرِيل مَنْ يَأْتِي بِالْقُرْآنِ Jibreel did not come to him to tell him the answer. فَقَالَ لَهُمْ ارْجِعُوا غَدًا Come to me tomorrow. And forgot, Insha'Allah. And every day the Prophet ﷺ forgot to say, Insha'Allah, the mushrikeen would slaughter مِئَةَ نَاقَةً 100 camels and make a feast. Muhammad cannot answer. Stop. And this is the action of the disbeliever. He is happy in his ma'asiyah. So they were happy. And then Allah brought down the end of surah. Surah Al-Isra and all of Surah Al-Kahf and some of Surah Maryam. And in Surah Al-Kahf, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدَى إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ Ya Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, do not say that you will do something tomorrow unless you say, Insha'Allah. And then the Prophet ﷺ, when Jibreel came, قَالَ لَهُ يَا جِبْرِيل Why did you not come down? So we see in Surah Maryam, وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ Ya Muhammad, we do not come to you except by the order of Allah. Jibreel wanted to come to the Prophet ﷺ, but it is Allah that tells. And this happened for 15 days until they came to the Prophet ﷺ, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلْ Answer them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ar-ruhu min amri rabbi. Till the end of Surah Al-Kahf. So we see that the Quran used to come down in this way, munajjama, for the different reasons and the different questions. And the Sahaba would write it upon the bone, upon leaves, upon rocks, upon fabric, and keep them together. The Sahaba, when they would listen, they would write the things down and keep it with them as a way of giving it to other people to learn more about the Qur'an. ثُمَّ مَاتَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ Then Rasulullah ﷺ passed away. And who became the Khalifa? Abu Bakr. The greatest person after the Prophet ﷺ from the Ummah of Muhammad ﷺ. And Umar came to him and said, Ya Aba Bakr, ijma' al-Qur'an. And this is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari. Abu Bakr, make the Qur'an in one book. Hatta la yakhtalif al-Nas. So that the people do not become differing in the Qur'an. Which ayah is after where? So they do not find differing in the Qur'an. Fa'aba Bakr aba. He would not. He said, I will not. And then Abu Bakr narrating the hadith, فَمَا زَالَ عُمَرْ يُرَاجِعُنِي وَيُرَاجِعُنِي فِي جَمْعِ الْقُرْآنِ حَتَّى شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرِي لِذَلِكَ Umar ibn al-Khattab, knowing, and Umar had fitra. Some things Umar ibn al-Khattab would say, the Qur'an would come a day later and order the Prophet to do what Umar said, رضي الله عنه. صح? For example, al-hijab. Umar ibn Khattab told, as is in Bukhari, Ya Rasulullah, order the women to wear hijab. Because I see people looking at your wives, Ya Rasulullah. So Umar, when he said this, the Prophet ﷺ, knowing from Allah that he does not do anything without the order of Allah, the Quran came down, ordering the Muslim women and the Prophet's wives to wear hijab. Umar kept on ordering Abu Bakr, Ya Abu Bakr, gather the Qur'an, until Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, until Allah opened my chest so I saw that this is what I should do. But who do they choose yajma' al-Qur'an? Listen to the word of Abu Bakr. قَالَ يَا زَيْد Zayd was from كَتَبَةَ الْوَحْد مُعَاوِيَا زَيْد عَلَيْهِ عُثْمَان All of these were people who used to write the Quran as it came down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Zayd, listen to the words of Abu Bakr. Innaka rajul, you are a man, a true man. Fahim? You understand the word when Abu Bakr called you a man is different than when someone else says you're a man. This is Khalifatul Mu'mineen saying, Ya Zayd, innaka rajul, shab, you are young, youthful, you have a good memory, aqil, intelligent. إِنَّكَ رَجُلٌ شَابٌ عَاقِلٌ لَا نَتَّهِمُكَ. No one has ever accused you of anything. وَكُنْتَ تَكْتِبُ الْوَحْيَ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And you used to be from those that the Prophet ﷺ chose to write the Qur'an when he recited it. فَاجْمَعِ الْقُرْآنَ فِي مُصْحَفٍ وَاحِدٍ. They bring the Qur'an in one mushaf. يقول زيد, and this is all in صحيح البخاري. زيد, he says, والله لو كلفوني بنقل جبل من الجبال لكان أهون علي من جمع القرآن. By Allah, and this is a صحابي saying, والله, if they told me to move a whole mountain, it is easier than for them to tell me to bring the Quran together. So Zayd would go to each Sahabi and take the papers, the leaves, and write the Qur'an until it became one volume. And this Qur'an was kept with Abu Bakr. And after Abu Bakr, al-Khalif al-Awwal, tawaffa, radiallahu anhu arda, the Qur'an moved to the house of Umar. And then Umar, radiallahu anhu, tawaffa, passed away, the Qur'an went to his daughter Hafsa. And then begins al-marhala al-thalitha, the third stage of gathering the Qur'an. The first was at the life of who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second was during the life of Abu Bakr. The third is during Uthman's time as the Khalifa. Hudayfa, one of the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ibn al-Yaman, was waging jihad in Azerbaijan, wa Armenia, wa Kosovo. This is where he was, Hudayfa. This is how these people became Muslim. He came back to Uthman, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, wa riwayah also in Sahih al-Bukhari. O Amir al-Mu'mineen, adrik al-Ummah. Catch the Ummah, قبل أن تختلف في كتاب الله اختلاف اليهود والنصارى. Before they begin to disagree in the word of Allah the way the Jews and the Christians have done. Why? Because Hudayfa saw the actions of the Muslims. A person would be praying Salah and he would recite in a different way than someone from a different city. And he would tell him, you are reading it wrong. And the other would say, no, you are reading it wrong. Don't be surprised, this happens with Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was living. Umar ibn al-Khattab entered a masjid and found the Imam reading from Surah al-Furqan. And this hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari أيضا. And then Umar ibn al-Khattab, rawi al-hadith, narrating the hadith, says, I'm praying, فَاسْتَمَعْتُ لِقَرَاءَتِهِ. I listened to him reading, فَوَجَدْتُ. I found that it is different than how the Prophet ﷺ taught me how to read. So Umar was going to grab him in salah. لكن قال فَمَلَّكْتُ نَفْسِي. I held myself back. حَتَّى انْتَهَتِ الصَّلَاةِ فَأَخَذْتُ. Salah finished, I grabbed him. وَاللَّهِ لَأَرْفَعَنَّكَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. By Allah, this moment you are coming, whether you like it or not, to the Messenger Muhammad ﷺ, and I will tell him what you have done. فَجَاءُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Umar ibn al-Khattab says, Ya Rasulullah, إِنَّهُ يَقْرَأُ. He is reading in a way that you did not teach me to read. So the Prophet ﷺ, who is a person who is intelligent, he doesn't listen to Umar. He tells the man, اقرأ عليك. You read, let me hear how you read. فقرأ سورة القرآن. He began to read in the same way. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هكذا نزل. It came down this way. ثم قال يا عمر اقرأ علي. عمر, you read to me. فقرأت كما علمني. فقال هكذا نزل. And then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, نزل القرآن على سبعة أحرف. The Quran came down on seven different recitations, as we all know. But at the time, the Quran, when it entered Armenia and Azerbaijan and Tajikistan, these places, the people were not Arab. So they would have different recitations. So Uthman, who did Uthman call? He called Zayd once again. Ya Zayd. اجمع القرآن مرة أخرى. Take the Quran from Hafsa and make me Mushaf Imam. Al-Mushaf al-Imam. A Mushaf that is to be used everywhere, where no one can disagree with this Mushaf. Zayd, he took the Quran from Hafsa and made copies. Some of them still exist. One of them is in Turkey. It still exists. And they gathered the Masahif and they sent it لكل البلدان, to each of the major Islamic cities. And then Uthman ordered any book that disagrees with this is to be burned. So only this Quran, the way it was brought down to the Prophet ﷺ, as was known by the people of Medina, was used. So this is how we now see the Quran in al-Mushaf al-Imam, in these three different states. We move now quickly also أن نعرف أن القرآن له فضل. You and I as Muslims on Khutbah al-Jum'ah, we discussed with you that it is a great blessing to use your tongue in a way of good, in a way of khayr, so that you may gain the blessings of Allah. And we mentioned to you some ahadith and some ayat from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advising you and I to read the Quran. Here are some more ayat and ahadith. In Surah Al-Hashr, we all know the ayah, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل. Listen to the word of Allah. Allah says, if we were to bring down this Quran to a mountain, and we were to give the mountain the ability to understand and to be held accountable for doing what the Quran orders, لَرَأَيْتَهُ, you would look to the mountain خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. You would see the mountain خَاشِعًا, afraid, trembling, shaking from Allah, from the fear of Allah. This is what جَبَل. It doesn't have a heart, doesn't have eyes, doesn't have a brain, doesn't have an intelligence, would shake from the fear of Allah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the great Sahabi, he said, أطلب قلبك في ثلاث مواطن. See if you have a heart in three places. Many of us, ma'am, we have a heart. I'm talking, I don't mean the heart that pumps your blood, but the heart of Iman. See if you have a heart in these places. حين سماع القرآن, when you listen to the Quran, do you feel something in your heart? Do you know that this is the word of Allah to you? Not to the Ummah specifically, to you specifically. Allah is speaking to you. الوضوء, الصلاة, الزكاة, الجهاد, الإيمان, ترك المسكرات, ترك الكفر, ترك ال... to leave out all evil, to do all good. Allah is ordering you. This is the Quran. أفلا يتدبرون القرآن أم على قلوب أقفالها. Do they not ponder and think and understand and try to learn the Quran? Or are their hearts chained away, held away? أطلب قلبك. Look, see if you have a heart. when you read, when you hear, when you look at the Quran. This is something that you as a Muslim man and as a Muslim woman must give to your child. How is your child going to learn to love the Quran unless he sees his father love the Quran? Do you know that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would read the Quran lying down with his head in the lap of Aisha? Yani he is relaxing sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he is reading the Quran while lying down in the lap of Aisha. Look at the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is his relationship with the Quran. Because with your relationship with the Quran is your relationship with Allah. For he is the one who has ordered the Quran, spoke to you from the Quran. Look at the action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At-tahajjud. قام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليلة كاملة يتلو آية. He stood the whole night reading one verse from Surah Al-Ma'idah. إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادٌ. If you, O Allah, wish to punish them, they are only your slaves and servants. And out of fear of this ayah, he would recite it over and over again during the whole tahajjud, all night. This was the example of the Prophet ﷺ, at-tadabbur, reading the Quran for its meaning. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ tells us, do not read the Quran in less than 3 days. Why? You will not be able to understand what it says. Except at the time when the Quran is to be recited greatly. When you are in al-Masjid al-Haram, in the month of Ramadan, these are times when you are to read as much of the Quran as you can. As some of the ulama have shown and have clarified. Why do we say all of this? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are people that He loves, ahleen, fil ard, from people living on the ground, on the earth. قيل من هم يا رسول الله؟ قال أهل القرآن هم أهل الله وخاصة. The companions of the Quran are those whom Allah treasures and loves, and they are His selected few. So you have to build your relationship with Allah through the Quran. Also, we say that in our time now, al-ma'isha al-an, the ummah hajarat al-Quran, has left the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a way of bringing them back, has given us fitna, has given us ikhtilaf, as a way of us to realize that the solution is the Quran, is the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran now, rarely do people listen. I ask you, by Allah, if you have children, what do your children listen to on their Walkman? And if you don't have children, look at your cousins, look at your brother's children, look at other Muslim families. What do their children listen to in their Walkman? What do they enjoy listening to? I will tell you the answer. If you do not know, I will tell you. Every summer, we try to go with Muslim brothers to a camp so that we can enjoy the company of our Muslim youth, swimming, playing, enjoying each other's company, and learning about Allah and His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will always see that the majority of these children that come carrying Walkmans will have rap music, music that they are listening to, and this is what they enjoy. And every time I see them,
I think of the words of Shaykh al-Islam ibn al-Qayyim. He said, لا يجتمع كلام الله القرآن وكلام الشيطان الغناء في قلب امرئ واحد. Never will the words of Allah and the words of the shaitan be found together in the heart of one person. One will kick the other out. One of them, يطرد الآخر, will push the other out. If you see a person who loves the Quran, I guarantee you and I tell you for sure that he does not listen to music. And if you see a person enjoying al-ghina, always listening to it, enjoying it, I guarantee you that he does not listen to the Quran as much as he should. صح؟ والله على ما أقول وفيه وشهيد. And this is the truth. الأمة هجرت حتى سماع القرآن. We don't even listen. I'm not going to say read. قراءة سماع, just listening to the Quran. Also, القراءة. Do you know that Imam al-Zuhari رحمه الله, one of the great Imams of Hadith, when the month of Ramadan would come, he would close all the books of Hadith, put them away, and turn and read from the Quran itself, although he was Hafiz, to look at the Quran. One of the Sahaba Hudhayfa كان يمسك القرآن ويضع على وجهه ويقول كلام ربي كلام ربي ويبكي. Hudhayfa would hold the Quran in his hand, put it on his face and cry and say, these are the words of Allah, the words of Allah. This is why they were given an-nafs, at-tamkeen. And this is why we are given al-dhul wal-ihana. شفت الفرق? Do you see the difference? So we say quickly, so that we conclude inshaAllah before Adhan al-Isha, some of the adab in reciting the Qur'an. أولاً الطهارة. يستحب, it is مستحب that the person is in wudu. If you are not in wudu, يجوز قراءة القرآن. You could still read the Qur'an and even from the Mus'haf. Also, that where you read the Qur'an should be in a clean place. And this is مستحب. That where you are reading it is in a clean place. Preferably masjid, in your home, in at work, in something that is clean. Also we see, it is also mustahab that the person faces the qibla in reciting the Qur'an. For this is something that some of the sahaba have narrated, was from their habits, and some of the tabi'een have done this as a way of proving that it is merciful and something that is good for you to do. When you read the Qur'an, try to be facing the qibla, insha'Allah. Also, al-isti'adah, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you refuge and security from the shaytan by saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, or أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. All of these are different things that you can say in protecting yourself. فَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنِ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِدْ بِاللَّهِ. If you see the shaitan coming to attack you, trying to influence you, seek refuge in Allah. Also, when you read al-qira'a bil-tadabbur, al-imam Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, لا يهمني. It does not concern me how many ayat I read. This is something important. Many of us, when we read, we say, I will read 2-3 pages. Or I will read 100 ayah. Or I will read Surah Al-Kahf, just Surah Al-Kahf. I want to finish Surah Al-Kahf because today is Jumu'ah. We limit ourselves. Ibn Abbas, he says, I was never concerned how many ayahs I read, whether it is one or hundreds. Why? Because when he read, it was with tadabbur. If he understood what he read, it would be enough for him. And we see this in the famous hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari.
Inshallah, I actually intend to make maybe one or two classes on it, which is Hadith al-Mar'atayn, the Hadith of what happened between Aisha and Hafsa, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the reason of the nuzul of Surah al-Tahrim, where the Prophet ﷺ left his wives for 29 days and he lived away from them. And why he did this sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was something Ibn Abbas did not know. So when he read Surah al-Tahrim, he stopped. Who did he go to? Umar. Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, why did this surah come down? And Umar al-Khattab entered it, showing you that it's not just reading it, but why? What is the importance? What can I learn from the ayah, from the surah, from the kalima in the book of Allah? Also, that when you recite the Quran, it should be with the tarteel, reading it and trying to sound nice. Tahseen al-sawt. Trying your best to read in a nice, fluent manner. For this is something that the malaika love to listen to. And this is what Allah loves to listen to the most. The Prophet ﷺ says, Allah loves to listen to His servants reading the Qur'an in an easy, fluent manner. So this is something that we should strive to. Also from the adab before you read the Qur'an is a siwak, brushing your teeth. And this is something that is mustahab before reciting the Qur'an. Also reading from the book itself, as we have mentioned to you, for the a'imma, the scholars of al-hadith, and al-imam al-Nawawi, if you return to al-madhab al-Shafi'i, he says, النظر في المصحف عبادة.